today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Kenneth Copeland and his special guest, David Barton, as they begin their new teaching, The Call to Pray for God to Heal Our Land. Learn how to intercede for your nation.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Monday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And that's just what it is. The voice of the body of Christ, the voice of Jesus in the earth, and it's victory, praise God. We're not a bunch of losers, we're winners. You just read the back of the book and you just see where we win. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this broadcast today. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. We open our hearts and our minds to hear from heaven. Revelation information, that's what we desire, and that's what changes things. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Join me again today in welcoming David Barton to this broadcast.
Hey, Ken.
David, God bless you, man.
Thanks, man. You too.
And Cheryl came with you today.
Sure did.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Makes you look good, doesn't it?
Absolutely. That's exactly right. That's my adult supervision. Yeah, I got to have somebody to watch.
Oh, my goodness. We all kidded Charles Capps for years and years because when he and Peggy got married real young. And Peggy's a few months older than he. And so when he went to get his pilot's license, he was a few days short of the birthday. I don't remember what age it was back there. Then it's different than it is now. So that he could go on, take his check ride, and go and get his license.
Yeah.
And Peggy had to sign for him as his guardian. So Peggy's always been Charles's guardian.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and you know, I don't know that it's any different in my house. I just don't have the papers to
prove it.
Amen. Yep. God is so good, and his mercy is so rich, and his grace is oh so abundant. So, today, we're going to be talking about the healing of the land. When you enter into prayer, and we are commanded by God to pray for those in authority, to pray for kings. Well, that would be presidents and prime ministers and all that are in authority. Why? That the church live in peace, honesty, and godliness. Now, you can't kill a church, but you can fix it to where you have to lie to go to church.
Yeah.
And that's not living in honesty and godliness before God. I mean, you're not accountable for that kind of thing. Because of persecution, Christians have had to meet in secret and all kinds of things and connive their way around to serve God. But that's not God's best, and it isn't anywhere close to God's best.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, how do you pray for those people? Oh, God, help the president fix the economy. He can't fix the economy. Now, this is one of the areas that before this week's up, I'm quite sure the Lord's going to have David and I just dive into this thing because prosperity is not a function of government. Prosperity is spiritual. Poverty is spiritual. Poverty is one of the most obvious spiritual manifestations of the human race under the control of sin and sickness and demons and fear and so forth, because it just goes hand in hand with it. And so it's a very spiritual thing. You can just throw money at it by the truckloads, which this government has done for many years now. And there's more poor poverty than there ever was. So let's go now to 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. How do you pray? We'll see that right here. Now, in the 12th verse, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Now, back in 2007, which was the 400th anniversary of the planting of the cross and an entering into a divine covenant. I don't have time to get into the details. That's extremely interesting. You need to look up the the history of it, where a group of men landed at Portsmouth. This was actually the first of these different landings. Mm-hmm. And this was what, Jamestown?
Jamestown came out of that. They landed at Portsmouth, yeah. Cape Henry, and then went up the James River.
Okay. Now, they entered into a covenant with God that day and declared this place. Now, here's something really interesting about this. They declared everything from the eastern shores to the western shores of all this land to belong to Jesus Christ and established for the proclamation of his gospel to mankind. Mm-hmm. Well, how could he do that, Brother Copeland? I mean, he just stand up there and do it. You don't know this. Not unless you're a student of the history of it. I didn't know it. I went to a celebration in 2007 that our brother Pat Robertson established for that celebration of this. That's when I found out this particular history mm-hmm. about it. The king had decreed the man that set that cross, he demanded that he come on this trip mm-hmm. as chaplain of this. Mm-hmm. Of this group of vessels that was to sail. And he didn't want to do it. He had to go off and leave his family, and he never saw him again. Once mm-hmm. God just put it on him finally when he went to pray about it. Oh, he didn't want to go yeah. off and do that. But God said, yeah, you need to do it.
Every previous attempt had died coming over. I mean, you know what you're walking into.
It was a death sentence, really, in their mind.
That's right.
It was a death sentence. So, but the Lord impressed him that he's supposed to go. He went to the king. He said, give me that land. People said, you're crazy, man. You ask the king, man, he'll kill you. You stick your, you just be that bold for him. But he didn't.
Yeah.
He actually deeded this whole continent to him. He had the papers he could hold before God. He said, I own this.
Yeah.
And he committed it to the Lord Jesus Christ and sunk that big, well, I think his thing was something like 12 feet high out there in that sand dune out there and jammed it in the ground.
Yeah.
Well, he had in his heart and his mind before God, and according to the king's word, mm-hmm. he had a right to commit
That's right.
this to the Lord. He didn't just find it.
That's
he
right.
knew where it was. He didn't discover it. Mm-hmm. But he
dedicated it.
He dedicated
covenant.
It.
Made
and he had the papers
That's right.
with his name on it. The king had given it to him, man. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a move of God. There's not any move
yeah.
of God. So he dedicated it. Well, we went to the And they did. The whole group of them finally perished in that place. But every one of them lived out their lives, committed to their covenant with God over this continent. Now, we went to that celebration in 2007. And I was graciously invited to be one of the speakers. And they had a number of speakers there, so each one didn't have but just a few minutes.
Right.
And by the time it was my turn to speak, it was about, mid-afternoon, 2:30, something like that. And a lot of people there. And I mean shouting, sand-kicking, believing God, Holy Ghost
yeah.
patriots out there,
yeah.
man. I mean, and there was a considerable number of us, a couple of thousand people at least. And I was praying. I said, Lord, what do I need to get into here? I mean, you can go up there and hoorah, hoorah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's something that's just eating on the inside of me. And I said, what is it? He said, go over there, and I want you to notice in 2 Chronicles 7, I appeared to Solomon, and I said to him certain things. And I want you to account those things to those people, and I want you to point out how many times I said, I will. I didn't know how many times he said, I will. And I read this a lot of times. But I went back in here and said, I appeared to Solomon Knight and said unto him, I have heard your prayer. Well, that's what he said to, what's his name, Hunt? Mr. Hunt?
Yeah. Yep, Reverend Hunt.
That's what he said to Brother Hunt. Mm-hmm. I've heard your prayer. Mm-hmm. And I've chosen this place to myself as a house of sacrifice. God chose this place for a nation. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, if my people, which are called by my name. Now, at the time he said this, David, to Solomon, the nation was called by his name. But now, it don't take everybody in the United States praying that, or any other nation as far as that goes, because his word's good to whosoever will. But his people, which are called by his name, we're called by the name of Jesus, shall humble themselves and pray. How do you do that? Well, oh God, I'm just a little worm. I'm just so no good. That's not humility. That's self-debasement. Yeah. Unscriptural. But when you go over to 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting the whole of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Then he said, resist the devil. Now that's humbling yourself before God. Cast the whole care over on him. Well, he wouldn't tell you to cast it over on him if he wouldn't take it. So he's the caretaker for this nation, if we do what he says do. And pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will. Praise God.
First one.
I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. Mine eyes will be open. That's number four. My ears attent, but the understood matter there is,
I will hear.
My ears will be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. What place? The place he's chosen. And he chose Mr. Hunt to go over there and plant this cross on the east coast of this continent and declare it from east to west, from one sea to the other, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, I have chosen and sanctified this place that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Praise God.
A bunch of wills in there.
There's a bunch of wills in there.
A bunch of wills in there.
And he said, I will do it. Now, he didn't say, as long as there's a couple of hundred million of you. No. Mm-mm. Actually, two people can do
That's
it.
That's right.
Two people can move God. Any two of you on earth shall agree together, touching anything that they shall have. It shall be done by my Father, which is in heaven. So, we did this. And we went down line by line. We made it a matter of record. It was recorded that day that we went before God and we humbled ourselves and we rolled our care over on him, expecting him to I will, I will, I will, and I will. I believe he heard it.
Yep.
I believe he did it. I believe he said it. Now, David, it don't look to most people like all this madness that's going on, all this spending and borrowing and digging deeper when you're already in a hole.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't work. It's a history proves it doesn't work. But seeing all that, it doesn't look like we've come all that much closer to the land being healed, but we're closer to it than we've ever been. And that's the reason this pot's boiling
that's
like
right.
it is.
Yeah.
Don't you see that in your heart like that?
You get that kind of reaction. I mean, anytime the enemy knows he's about to get creamed, he fights ferociously. He fights with, it's like a dying breath kind of a thing. And I think that's part of what we're seeing. I also think, too, I think there's several other things that indicate that we're on the verge of a significant, significant shift. One that I specifically look at is every revival that occurred in the Bible. Every time God healed a land, healed a nation, every time we had a revival here in America, our first great awakening, second great awakening, third great, every time, the key to every one of them has been what happened with young people. And I go to Judges 13. There's a great example there of God's people were under the oppression of the Philistines. Their culture was messed up. They couldn't worship God the way they wanted to. Their lives were wrong. All the laws were against what they wanted to do. They couldn't raise their kids right. And they were crying out to God, heal the land. God, we've got a covenant with you. Remember the covenant. Heal the land. And I love the way God answered that. In Judges 13, verse 5, God answered it by sending an angel to earth to say, I've heard your prayers. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you a revival if you want. And the way he did it was the angel went and looked up a guy named Manoah. And he said, Manoah, yeah. God's heard the prayers of this people. He's going to heal this land. Here's how it works. Your wife will become pregnant. When that child grows up, he's going to be the national deliverer. Time out. I thought you said you heard the prayers. We've got to wait 20 years for these kids to grow. But that's the way every revival is. It comes out of the next generation. And what I'm seeing right now statistically is stuff that we've never seen before, or probably have seen it 200 years ago, haven't seen it in recent years in American history. For example, it was 2 years ago that America first became a pro-life nation by majority. Now, we've had abortion since Roe v. Wade in 73, and we've had plurality, you know, 43% pro-life and 39% pro-abortion. And we've had but now, 2 years ago, we became 53% of Americans said abortion is morally wrong. It is off the table. We're majority pro-life nation. Among our kids right now, those kids that 20 years from now will be our national leaders, 72% think that abortion is morally wrong. Now, my question is, how do you get kids that are 20% more pro-life than everyone who teaches them? 20% more pro-life than their teachers, their parents, their cultures. How come the whole body of these kids out there is more pro-life than any time in our history? How did that happen? God says, you've been praying? Let me send you a generation.
Yeah.
We've got a study on what they call the millennials. The millennials are those that were born in the 80s, in the 1980s. And you look at the study of millennials, and the group that did the study is a marketing group. And they're a group that specifically want to sell things to this generation. These are kids now in their 20s. So they're born in the 80s and now in the 20s, and they want to say, how do we get their money for cars? How do we get their money to sell them shoes and technology and games? And so this huge marketing study was done to see how they think. How do you touch these millennials? And what they found with these kids was that 94% of all millennials, and we're talking a whole generation of kids, 94% of these young people respect monogamy and parenthood, 88% respect the U.S. Constitution, 86% respect the U.S. military, 84% respect marriage. You just go through the numbers, and I'm intrigued with 88% respect the Constitution. 88% of U.S. congressmen don't respect the Constitution.
That's the truth.
And we've got an entire generation, not just 435 members of Congress, we've got an entire generation that respects the Constitution. And furthermore, in this upcoming generation, only 24% respect Hollywood. You know, what a reversal this is of what we've seen for generations in our own culture. And we look at that and we say, wow, what's happening to these kids? And then UCLA does a study every year. It's called the Freshman Norms. And they survey 270,000 freshman kids in college. And they ask them dozens of questions. They say, all right, tell us about your family and your siblings and how much money your parents make and what your hobbies and what do you want to do. But they always ask them a bunch of social questions because they know these kids are going to be our leaders in a few years. Mm-hmm. In the last 7 years, these kids have been more pro-life than any kid since they started the survey in 1966, and abortion was illegal back then. And these kids are more pro-life than when abortion was illegal. They're more pro-premarital sexual abstinence than any group since the 60s. I mean, just look at the values. You go, where did these kids come from?
Well, you know, my grandchildren now came up, and they took a step that I didn't teach them.
Yeah.
It came out of what we taught them,
yeah.
But it was a step on their own. They really stepped out there and began to believe God.
Yep.
And you just go down the line of them. They began to believe God. My granddaughter Rachel said, the first time any man's going to kiss me is when my papa said, I pronounce you man and wife. She said that when she was a little girl. Yeah. Well, she was very serious about it, and it came to pass. She was 25, 20, a little over 25 when she got married, Mm-hmm. And that's the first time any man ever kissed her. Well, the man she married, the same thing was true with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now then there's my other granddaughters. Each one of them have made those kind of
that's
commitments.
Right.
And they've come up in that kind of commitment before God.
And God done that in their hearts. You guys have taught them and helped them. But we're seeing that across
came
the
out
country.
Of,
that came, that's something God did.
That was a revelation in them.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
And that's something, Elijah was there and he did all the works of God and he whipped 850 prophets on top of Mount Carmel. But then God says, go get this young guy, Elisha, and teach him. And Elisha did twice as many miracles as what Elijah did. It's that next generation
well,
that comes
here
in and
does
Joshua
stuff. Under Moses.
That's exactly right. Moses didn't inherit the promised land. Joshua did. It's the young people.
Yeah.
God wouldn't even let the old people go in. He said, you guys are all going to die
well,
in the wilderness.
We started praying these prayers right here.
That's right.
Back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. See, we've been doing this for decades, and that's God says, okay, let me send you a generation that's going to get
and
all this stuff.
We've got them.
We got it.
They're here now.
And see, that's why I think we're so close.
Wow.
But I think there's something that really is key with this, and this goes back to all the bad stuff we see going on. You look, and the enemy knows when a deliverance is about to occur. We're about to have Moses get the people out of Egypt. So what we got to do is kill all the young boys. Let's kill every boy that's out there. And Moses gets stuck in a basket.
Jesus was born.
Jesus. The star, there it is. We've got the star. Jesus is born. Go kill every. So the enemy starts going after young people when there's something significant about to happen. What we know right now in America is we got these kids with all these values. Statistically, between 70, depending on which study you look at, between 70 and 88% of these kids will renounce their faith after 4 years of college. College know, those guys know exactly what these kids are about to do, and if they don't get that faith knocked out of them, if they don't take it away from them, the nation's going to change.
Yeah.
And so these kids are targets like they have not been at any point in your life, my life, our grandparents' life, and that's why we've got such a responsibility to train these kids
mm-hmm.
and help them know mm-hmm. why they believe what they believe. And in so many ways, we've trained them with the right values, but they can't defend that. It's just part of who they are. We have to be able to say, here's how you can, 1 Peter 3:15, give a reason. You have to be able to give a reason
yes,
for the hope that's
amen.
Within you.
Praise
and
God.
That's the use of the mind. We have to love God with our mind as well. And that's what we've got to train these kids for, because God has sent us a generation that is going to get all this stuff right and going to get all this stuff moved back to Him and renew the covenant and get back there. Our responsibility is we got to get these kids through. We've got to get them to that point.
Tomorrow, this is really strong in my heart. We're out of time for now. So tomorrow, you helped me with this a number of years ago in how God moves, His pattern for moving into a nation's control,
mm-hmm.
whether it's His government, but primarily, what does He do? What does He go after first? Does He go after your money system first? Does He go after your court system?
Yeah.
Does He go after your schools first? Does He go after your churches first? Where does He go?
Yeah.
And it's very specific and it's very plain, and we can do something
That's
about
right.
it, and we're going to get into that tomorrow. Praise
right.
God. And with God's help. God and David are going to get into this tomorrow. Amen. David and I will be back in just a moment.
Of the United States of America,
and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have you ever wondered what our founding fathers' intentions were concerning the government and where God fits in? The Godly Heritage Package by David Barton will help you come to a better understanding of America's heritage. In this special package, you'll receive America's Godly Heritage, a DVD that is perfect for those who want to know more about what was intended for America and what we can do to help America return to its godly roots. Plus, a book entitled Separation of Church and State, What the Founders Meant. The very foundation of this country is based on God. Learn how to defend your stand for Christ by knowing what happened historically when this country was being birthed. Order your copy of the Godly Heritage Package, now available for just $17. For faster delivery, visit our website at kcm.org and order online. This package includes a DVD and book from best-selling author and speaker David Barton. To request your package by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy today.
Now, you really, really, really do need to get hold of everything and get your hands on that the Lord has given Brother David Barton. This is outstanding material, this package here. The separation of church and state, what the founders meant, and actually what they said. Not what somebody said they said, but what they said. And America's godly heritage. You need to get a hold of this, but you need to get on his website at Wall Builders and just really, really study, become aware and knowledgeable, scripturally knowledgeable about government, what it means and how it works and the financial aspects of it and so forth, because it's still God's people perish for lack of knowledge. And it's not just lack of what's going on, it's lack of what God said about what's going on. That's where the difference is made. Now, Father, we pray over this today in the name of Jesus. We pray over all this radio and television audience all over the world for a divine awakening.
Yeah.
An awakening in this nation. An outpouring of the Holy Ghost like we've never seen before. Praise God. Yeah. And this old unrighteous pot is boiling and is boiling over. And the power of God is at hand. And we give you the praise and the honor for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Now, there never has been a more important time to get in the Word. August the 3rd through the 8th, right here in Fort Worth, our hometown meeting, praise God. Brother Savelle's going to be preaching, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Glory, and me, and anybody else that the Lord thrusts in there. 6 days and nights in God's Word. This is the time to get in the Word. This is the way you get out from under the care that the devil tries to kill you with. Amen. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, Kenneth Copeland, David Barton, reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase a copy of this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Let God's glory shine in your life at the 2009 Southwest Believers Convention. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar August 3rd to the 8th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. With Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for ages 13 through 18, there's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.